trees, mountains, a curious kittadu.
It's time for the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
The Tauaki Project, based at the University of Otago and driven by the mahi of international researchers, has taken a deep dive into the population genetics of three Aotearoa crested penguin species, Tauaki fjord or fjordland penguins, erect crested penguins, and eastern rockhopper penguins. Findings reveal how genetic health and marine habitat changes have impacted these species. For this week's Green Desk, I spoke with co-leader of the project, Dr. Thomas Matern, about what the study learned about these penguin populations, starting with a general overview of the research.
Well, I mean, we looked at the genetic diversity across the crested penguins we have in New Zealand. We've got four different species, and we managed to get a good amount of samples for three of those species, Tauaki, the Fiordland crested penguin, as well as the erect crested penguins and rockhopper penguins. And we just wanted to see how diverse they are in their genetic composition, because the genetic composition tells us something about the diversity within the population. And the more genetically diverse they are, usually species, the better they are at adapting to changing environments, which is right now quite an important thing to do in the face of climate change. So that was the overall goal of the study. And what did we expect? Well, we didn't expect much because our penguin species, particularly our crested penguin species, we don't know much about them. We knew that they were there. We knew what they looked like, but we never really studied them in detail, which is owing to the fact that it's quite difficult to work with them and it's quite expensive. And in New Zealand, we don't have a lot of research money.
You've spoken of some concerning data relating to erect crested and eastern rockhopper penguins. What are some of the causes of decline for these populations?
Well, I wish I could give you an answer. We don't know. As I said earlier, we don't know much about those penguins, so we don't have a lot of information to work off when it comes to determining what is causing the decline. I mean, clearly there's the elephant in the room, as I've mentioned earlier, which is climate change, and that results in warming sea temperatures, which has an effect on the productivity. And, of course, penguins being marine animals, they find their food at sea. Any change there is something that will affect them. And by the looks of it, it seems as if particularly our subantarctic species are having a pretty hard time right now.
Can you talk a bit more about how you understand climate change and the effect of that on penguin species identified in this study and more generally the populations of penguins and sea animals in Aotearoa?
Well, I think we've got a pretty good case study here. I mean, this is all theoretical because, as I said, we don't really have a lot of information about these penguin species, but we got a pretty good theory of what might be happening in terms of the effect of climate change on them, and that is—it's all related to the warming of the oceans. You see, the species that live and breed close to the New Zealand mainland, most of the nutrients that end up in the ocean and that fuel the primary productivity of the ocean, so that we've got phytoplankton, zooplankton, and fish populations flourishing. Most of those nutrients come from the mainland, so they're flushed in by rivers. So all the nutrients sit more or less at the surface. And with warming oceans, you have the effect of stratification. You've got warm water sitting at the surface and cold water further down, and there's not a lot of mixing happening. So it seems as if the climate change and the ocean warming that we have creates a system where the nutrients that come in from the New Zealand mainland stay at the surface, which is good for the animals that live there because there's higher productivity. But at the same time, the species in the subantarctic, they require the nutrients to come up from the sea floor. And with a warmer surface layer, these nutrients don't come up from the depth, so which means that the productivity in the subantarctic is exactly the opposite of what we see in the more subtropical waters, which is the water we have around the New Zealand mainland. sounds fairly complicated because there's a lot of physical properties of the ocean that need to be considered. But yeah, it seems that to boil it all down, penguins that forage in warmer waters are doing better than penguins that have adapted to forage in colder waters.
Despite not receiving academic funding for this project, you managed to get things moving with the support of the Global Penguin Society and crowdfunding for equipment and crews. What are you hoping that the benefit of this project will be on our understanding and capability to uplift New Zealand's penguin populations?
So this particular study is primarily funded through the Antarctic Research Trust, which is another overseas foundation. But the Global Penguin Society is supporting our work across all the penguin species here. So in Fiordland, not just the sub-Antarctic cruises. And I mean, it's quite important that we manage to tap into these sources, because here in New Zealand, we would never be able to do this. There's no academic funding for it. And anyone who has read the news recently sees that the academic funding is being slashed even further. So none of the research that we're doing, none of the findings we unearth, so to speak, would be possible with funding out of New Zealand, simply because there is none. And that's why, I mean, we tried for almost a decade to get this kind of work off the ground through the usual academic pathways. It just did not happen. So that's when we started to look into crowdfunding, and that helped us get the Tauwhaki project off the ground, really. And then we got the Global Penguin Society on board, and the more we managed to get the ball rolling, the more interest we generated in other overseas funders. So that's actually quite good. And the thing is, overseas at least, a penguin sell. you can actually raise money if you say, hey, we try to find something out about penguins. It's not so easy in New Zealand, unfortunately.
What are some of your research goals in the coming years?
I mean, the thing is, I came to New Zealand to do my master's on penguins, and I got stuck here because I realized no one is doing anything with penguins in New Zealand. You know, they're one of the most celebrated animals on this planet, but I guess the people of the northern hemisphere that don't have any penguins celebrate them. So after I finished my master's, I realized, hey, I can write a whole book about the biology of penguins if I just stick to it, because no one else is doing it. And we are responsible. New Zealand is home to one third of the world's penguin species, and that third is the least studied. I'm trying to get a broad overview of what's happening to our penguins. So I'm interested in their foraging ecology. What do they do out at sea? So we do a lot of biologging stuff with electronic devices that we attach to penguins. But that only makes sense if you also have an idea about what's happening with the population. So this goes hand in hand for me. So my focus is on seeing what our penguin populations are like, what their development, what their trajectories are, and trying to understand why that is by looking at their at sea behavior and foraging ecology.
That was Tauwhaki Project co-leader Dr. Thomas Matten speaking about his study on New Zealand's penguin populations.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM.